Once again, I need you to not come in with your preconceived ideas about what you think I'm about to say. Even though you've seen these scriptures before, just look at them with a fresh take every time. You get more out of it. Matthew 16:13, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I learned something about the Son of Man. Yesterday I was in church, and this is going to take me somewhere else, but I'm going to go there anyway. I heard the phrase Son of Man used in the Old Testament. My first time seeing it, I may have seen. You ever read over scripture? You know you read over a chapter, but you ain't see something? Yeah, it's like I ain't see that in there. And then when you go back and see it, it's bright as day. Yeah, Son of Man, and somebody in the Old Testament, I forget what scripture it was, an apostle's reading it, and they referred to Son of Man. I said, well, I heard Son of Man before. And right here it says, who I, the Son of Man, am. And if you study Jesus, which is the most important thing you're going to study, I know you like Proverbs, and I know you like Corinthians, and I know you know, Timothy might be your thing. The most important thing you're going to study is Jesus. Don't none of that other stuff matter if you don't have a grip on Jesus. Let me tell you something. Your perspective has to change. And I got to go over here. Your whole perspective has to change on how you look at things. You've been trying to figure out what's good and bad, and you miss life. You've been so busy trying to decipher between good and evil that you miss life. God doesn't look at things as good and evil. He looks at it from the perspective of life. Jesus said, he ain't come to say, I came to give you good. I came that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. Then he started talking about the thief before that. The thief came to steal. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? And so perspective has to change. Say, my perspective.
My perspective.
Come on, say it again. Say, my perspective,
has to change.
Is everybody familiar with what the word perspective means?
Yes,
right, the way you look at things, the way you see things. The tent is on your eyes. Christianity has a tent. And Christianity gives a tent to some things sometimes that don't let you see things as clear. You remember that man in the Bible that was blind and Jesus laid hands on him? And he said, I see, but I see men walking as trees. I couldn't see the men clear. Y'all catch the scripture and you understand what's going on. He said, I can see, but I'm not in the dark. But I don't really know who man is. And walking as trees, it's just a blur in the light to me. Then he lay hands on him again, right? A lot of times that represents you and the scripture. John 5:39 says, search the scripture and you think you have life, eternal life. He said, and there they will testify of me. And not that, but you won't come to me, he says. It's not that you shouldn't search the scripture, but if you're just searching the scripture and you don't come all the way to Jesus, you see men walking the trees. You never come to the light. You never come to the truth. So you never know how to relate. How can you be the church if you still see men walking as trees? No definition, no clarity, no identity. How can we if we're still stuck at that? How can we really get anything done if we're still stuck at our religious gestures? How can we get anything done if we're still stuck at our daily reading but never living anything? Our religious steps that we take, y'all know how we do? How can we change anything? How can anything be redeemed through us if we don't be redeemed ourselves? A lot of times you think you're redeemed, huh? You know, I am redeemed. Yes. Really? Are you really redeemed? Now, I know overall you're redeemed because Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I already know, but in your mind, in your soul, in your heart, in your understanding, have you been redeemed? Redeem. When they deem somebody, I deem you. I deem you. Like I give you rights to something. Like I deem you something. Yeah. Right? So you've been redeemed. Yeah. Y'all understanding? Yeah. You've been re-given your rights.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what redeemed means. I don't know what you thought it was. But that's what it means to be redeemed. My redeemer. Yeah. He's letting you know, hey, you got your rights. Actually, you never lost them, but you lost them in your mind, so I'm going to redeem you. See, it's an understanding. Everybody say understanding.
Understanding.
I learned this, and in all that I get understanding. You need to understand you. You thought he was talking about understanding them scriptures. He's talking about understanding you. And then you love your neighbor like you love yourself. Yeah, but you can't understand your neighbor if you don't understand your. But in all that I get what?
Understanding.
So So your perspective. So I heard her say Son of Man in the Old Testament. Then I said, well, I've seen that before. I've seen Son of Man. And Jesus referred himself as, I told you to study Jesus, he referred himself as Son of Man. In some instances, he called himself the Son of God. You know, they got mad at him. Because they said, oh, no, he called himself the Son of God. That makes himself equal with God. They don't mind you saying Son of Man. Because they've been saying that since the Old Testament. Right. So I realized it was a phrase that they used. Son of Man. It was trying to separate. Everybody say separate.
Separate.
Yeah, the phrase was used to separate you from deity. So let me put you in your place, Son of Man. You know you ain't nothing but a man. You know that, right? Right. You only. Hey. Listen, I'm only. We study. I'm only a man.
Right.
And so you begin to say things like that, and you relegate the power. You top it off. So it's to put you in your place, Son of Man. And when you hear Son of Man, you start thinking about the man that you came from. And all the limitations of your family, and all the limitations of your culture, and all the limitations of your skin color, and all the limitations of the place that you were told you couldn't go. That's what Son of Man carries. Needs to say you didn't know the Son of Man and Son of God are equal with each other. You didn't see it. Jesus was the equalizer. Jesus refers to himself as Son of Man, then refers to himself another time as Son of God, and he became the divine equalizer. Thought it not robbery to be. Divine equalizer. See? But you thought it was something different. You relegated to something else. Just because your perspective is off. Watch how simple this is. Your perspective can be off and it'll keep you from walking on water. Listen to me. There's some soul searching we gotta do. There's some things, I was having a conversation today, and I realized that there should be nothing else going on inside of your mind or in your brain or in your head till you've gotten this fixed. So what are all other things you're taking in? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing. So faith comes by hearing and hearing. Not just hearing one time, because how many things you heard one time and you ain't manifested? How many things you heard two times? How many things you heard 10 times and didn't manifest it? Okay, but hearing and going on, going on, going on, going on. Because what it does is washing you. It's cleaning you and giving you a clear faith of what it's supposed to look like. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It gives me a clear vision of what I'm supposed to be and who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing. Are y'all understanding me? But I've got to keep feeding on that type of diet. I can't go back and start eating religion. I sat in church, the back of church yesterday, and I said, well, and I came to the conclusion, I was working on it already, but I came to the conclusion that I said, hey, Mantra, I ain't said out loud, so nobody thought I was crazy, but hey, bro, you really got to literally change your vocabulary. Like, you literally got to stop letting yourself think religious thoughts.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know, you say, well, I said it like this, but you know what I mean. No, I don't know what you mean. You got to say it like it means now. Like, I've got to change my understanding of my vocabulary. I've got to watch what I'm connecting to the I am in my life. I am, and whatever you connect to, that's what you got.
Yeah.
See, I've got to start, I have to begin to start talking like Jesus.
Yeah.
Are y'all understanding me? Well, good question. Well, how does Jesus talk? Do we know? Do we know? Do we study how Jesus talks? How does Jesus approach? How does Jesus see it? What perspective is he looking from? So we can't be church. We can't be church. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. We can't be church until we realize the perspective. In the scripture, and I got to read it. I'm going to tell you something the Lord told me the other day. Whom son of man is thou says, John the Baptist, some said Elias, Jeremiah the prophets. He said to them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right? Now he already said, who I, the Son of Man am. Now Peter says, Simon Peter says, you the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered to him, blessed art thou, Simon, by John, the flesh, blood, and I revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, thou art, Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. So now we see that the church is built on the rock of the revelation of Jesus. So how do we function as a church if you ain't got the revelation of Jesus firm? I'm not talking about that he died for you. Stop being so selfish that all you're thinking about is what he did on the cross for you. Who did he tell you you were, and who you supposed to die for?
Yeah.
You ain't got the revelation till you're ready to die for somebody. And so we get excited on Easter. We're going to be excited in a couple months. Everybody going to put their suits on and everything. We're going to get excited. He is risen. And we're going to start singing the songs. What about when he was walking and telling you what you look like? Because see, that is only a physical representation of what he told you he was. He said, no greater love than this that a man will lay down his life for a friend. Then he put his money where his mouth there. Jesus wasn't talking noise. Yeah, no greater love than this, than that a man will lay down his life for a friend. And then went and did it. Are y'all understanding me?
Yes, sir.
But we can't function. We put ourselves back. We're not going to blame it on the preachers. We're not going to blame it on the prophets and the evangelists and the apostles and whoever. We're not going to blame it on them right now. We're going to blame it on us. Mm-hmm. Yep. I know somebody's supposed to teach, so I understand. We're going to blame it on us right now. Yep. Can we take responsibility? Yep. Come on. Can we live here and take responsibility? Yep. Right now in this class, we're going to take responsibility for our understanding Christ in us. Yes. Are y'all understanding? Because nothing's going to change. You can pray in tongues all day long. They ain't going to matter. What? Yep, they ain't going to matter.
Right.
You can worship to the sky is high and you cry till something else happened. Ain't nothing going to work. Because you don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
You don't even know what's going on. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what's on the inside of you. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you. This is what I'm trying to tell you. What's your name?
Yes.
Say it again.
Yes.
I want you to say, I'm going to say it. I made my other class say it and they got nervous a couple weeks ago, so I expect you to do the same thing, but I do not care. All right, what's your name?
Yes.
Now I want you to add the Christ to it. Say your name in the Christ.
Yes.
Montreal the Christ. Say it again.
Jameson.
So you feel a little, you a little scratching? That's right. That means right. Because ain't nothing scratching. You ain't doing nothing.
Right.
If you comfortable, you ain't there. See, Jesus, when he spoke to him, they said, we ain't never heard a man speak like this. We never heard it on this facet. See, what's this man talking about? He going to rebuild this tabernacle. They took 40 years to build this thing. Who is this man talking about before Moses was? He is. He's no more than about 30 years old. And he made him uncomfortable. See, the message really should make you uncomfortable. It should make you, I need to tell somebody. I need to tell on them or something. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it should make you feel like, I don't know, I need to go search the scriptures. Then you start finding yourself in there. Say it again. My trail to Christ. Yeah. Because Christ where? In you. Hope of glory. That's the same power. Christ represents that power, the anointed one, and his anointing. That's the power on the inside of you. That's the power of God on the inside of you. Stop. Oh, Lord Jesus. He said, Simon said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, and Jesus answered. But he said, y'all ready?
Yeah.
Y'all want to go or do y'all not want to go? He didn't say, you Jesus, the Son of God. He said, thou art Christ. He's saying something. He said, thou art too, Peter. You Christ. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Jesus, come and live in my heart. Give me a scripture. Invite him to come inside and live in your heart. Give me a scripture. I'll wait. Y'all know that phrase though, right?
Yeah.
But then you got the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same what? The same spirit that raised
Jesus.
You've overcome them, little children, because greater is he that is. He is in the world. But it didn't say greater is Jesus that's in you. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, because of all right, y'all, I'm gone. Because of a religion and our Christian ways, and notice I'm saying that because Christianity has become just another denomination with the rules and the rituals and everything, and sometimes defers to power. Mm-hmm. Can we be honest about it? We defer the power that is on the inside of us for Jesus to come and do something for you. Jesus come in and say, well, how much more saving he got to do? Your turn. I beat for you. I come here. I get beat for you, die for you, talk to you, tell you all the truth, give you all the truth, put my neck on the line every time that I spoke because I didn't speak the thing that everybody was ready for. And then I tell you, you too. It keeps going. He healed. He said, your faith did this. I have not seen such great faith. Your faith, the man in the pool of Bethesda. I said, Lord, what's going on? Lord, where's the faith for him to be healed? He said, because I saw Jesus be healed. He said, the man had faith to be healed. He just had it in the wrong direction. Yeah. The man was pointing so much at the pool that he didn't point on the well. High five. He's pointing at the pool, didn't point at the well. So Jesus, now you don't understand. See, y'all miss what's going on. We miss what's going on. So when Jesus says, all right, when Jesus says, get up, take up your bed and walk, and a man does it, he reached inside and pulled that. He said, look, you got it. You got that. The man, the centurion. Jesus was walking to the man's house to go heal his servant. He said, you ain't got to come over here. You ain't got to come over here. I'm a man in thought. I understand. You ain't got to come. Just say the word. And I believe it. He said, I ain't seen such great faith. And now what happens, he did something that Jesus wasn't even thinking about doing. Because Jesus was walking. Go read it. He said, well, I'm on my way. He said, no. You ain't got to come over here. Because before then, everybody got to, you know.
Yeah.
You know, get up. Let me help you get up. Let me just say the word. See, now we get hands free. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? The whole time, if you stop and read, stop being so religious. Everybody say, stop being religious. Talk to yourself. Close your eyes and talk to yourself. Call your name. Call your name. Call your name. And tell yourself, stop being so doggone religious. Stop thinking it's somebody else other than you. Stop thinking God gonna use somebody else other than you. Stop thinking somebody got something that you don't have.
Yep. Come on.
So now we relegate. So now this is what we do. It's slick. Y'all ready for it? It's slick. So now, you know, Jesus gonna do it. Jesus was his name. Jesus of Nazareth. That was how they described him. Like Simon Bar-Jonah. That was his name. What's your name? Say your name. Say your whole name. Where you from? Hey, Montrell Thompson from Gosmer, right? Yeah, but ain't no power in Montrell Thompson from Gosmer.
Yep. Yep.
But when you add Montrell to Christ, that means that I understand the power that is on the inside of me. This is not regular church, y'all.
Yep. Yep.
It's not nursery school or Sunday school. This is another thing of identity. But you cannot, because he says, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Upon this rock, which is the revelation of the Christ, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell. He's not even talking about a building here. Because he's talking about a mobile entity. You know, Jesus didn't have no building fund. I understand, y'all. Don't cuss me out. I like the buildings. I like our buildings. I know we had to build more buildings for more people to come and learn. That's what we're here for. I know when we come here together, a normal place becomes a special place, right? I can feel the vibes when the people come in. Like I'm feeling we here right now. I come and sit by myself. When we get here, it's like, we all pulling in the same direction. Something special is happening. I understand. I ain't tripping. But Jesus didn't know. There's scripture, and it's three times. They didn't even give account of this in John, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke did it. But you remember the story, and I ain't got time to go there. I don't want to waste time to go there. But you remember when Elias and Moses come down and talk to Jesus, Jesus transfigured in front of them, say he changed colors. Peter woke up and saw that, and say, oh, see, this is how we are. We need to build three buildings. We're going to build a tabernacle, because that's how we did in the Old Testament. We built the tabernacles to honor God. And we built the buildings to show that God was great.
Right.
Half the time, most of the people couldn't go into the temples in the Old Testament.
Right. Right. Right.
They had to wait for that one person. Amen.
Right.
They're going to build three buildings. No, it wasn't about no buildings. Jesus didn't even answer. He said, they said, we're going to build three temples, one for you, one for Elijah, one Moses. Then the voice came out of the sky, and they said, this is my beloved son. Listen to him.
Right.
You talking about going to build no building? Upon this rock, I'll build my church. Upon this revelation, upon this revelation, upon this revelation, has it been revealed to you who you really are? Who got to reveal it to you, though? Holy Ghost probably trying to reveal it to you, but you ain't trying to hear that. Yeah. You still want somebody to lay hands on you.
Yeah.
Wow. You still want to get put on by somebody else. You still need somebody to rep for you. No, take responsibility. But along with the responsibility, Paul said that I may know him.
Wow.
Right? Y'all know the scripture, huh? Yes, sir. In the power of his resurrection. We get quiet when they start talking about the fellowship of his suffering. Resurrection! Suffer.
Yeah.
We all got all the other kind of fellowships.
Mm-hmm.
Men's fellowship, women's fellowship.
Right.
What about the fellowship of the suffering?
Yeah. Yeah.
We fellowship. We take it on together.
Yeah.
We take on the price together. What about that? Mm-hmm. Know that. That's where your power at. Ain't no resurrection till there's some suffering.
Yeah, that's
right.
Know that. And to be honest, there ain't nothing else you need to know.
Yeah.
Everything else, name the subject. All of them are built on that.
Yeah.
If you, the house that built on the rock and the sand, y'all remember that?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. If you build it on your singing, winds and waves, all right, you know that. How hard you saying, I got to know if I praise on through it. If I just worship on through it, then God going, and I mean, you cried, you worship and everything, and the diagnosis was still the same. You pray real hard. Anybody pray real hard for something? But ain't nothing changed. Come on, there's got to be an answer. And see what happens is this. It's a little slight. You never say it. You never say it out your mouth. All right, so I'm going to say it for you. Okay, and then once I say it, then you can own up to say it. About to talk about confess your faults one to another, right? Sometimes confess to be able to say that stuff sometimes, right? Like, you know, I ain't going to lie. This is how I feel. Look, you begin to resent God. I know you say God is faithful. I know. Well, I know. When, yeah, you do it. You do it. You ain't going to never say it out your mouth, but you do it.
Yeah.
Why you ain't come through this time, God? You get to feel in some kind of way. Amen. Yeah, I know. Cool. Y'all ain't got to say it. But I'm cool. I'm going to admit it. My truck going to admit it. You begin to be resentful, but you resentful because you don't know your identity. It ain't his fault. You resentful because you're looking at the pool and not the well. You mad because you keep on doing that pool and I can't even get to that pool. God don't want me to get healed. When the well is getting turned up all the time on the inside, it stay turned up.
Yeah.
Identity.
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 Come on, say it again, identity.
Identity.
So I heard something the other day. I was watching something that I saw online, and it shook me. And a dog on this screamed, I'm going to show you in the scripture. Luke chapter 9. Is this what I'm looking for? Hold on. No, it's not what I'm looking for. Hold on. Yeah, no. Matthew chapter 21. Now, you need to be, let's get real serious in what I'm about to say. It's no longer a game. We're to a place in life and a place in history and a place in our literal environments and country Well, we have no time to play church and you do your little pity pat thing. Coming to church ain't about your joy. Stop. Listen, this is what I'm trying to tell you. When y'all come to service, we congregate together, it's not about you getting your joy. And you're going to get your joy, but it's not. Stop thinking that way.
Yeah.
Stop thinking about what you going to get so much. Because when you think of going to get something, you forget what you got.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Y'all got to give me that one.
Yeah.
Y'all got to give me a little more for that one.
Yeah.
You got to give me a little more for that. I'm not moving on. We're going to talk about this one for a minute. Yeah, all right. No, swallow that pill. When you going to get something, you forgot what you got.
That's right.
Go and get a blessing. You going to get a blessing or are you the blessing?
That's right.
You going to find the will or are you the will?
Yeah.
You looking for the promise or are you the promise?
Yeah.
Come on, say I am the promise.
Am the
Come
promise.
On, say I am the will.
I am the will.
Come on, say I am the blessing.
I am
If I could just hear the voice of God, you are the voice of God.
I am the voice of God.
Yep.
The Lord told me, I heard Paul say this. He said, you exercise what your senses will know.
Yeah.
Left and right, and what like your senses will know what how to deal. And the Lord told me this one day. He said, when I was sitting there, he said, because you know we don't fool them feelings too much,
right.
But we want to feel God.
All right.
He told me one day, he said, you know, you can trust. Because, you know, you ever got a feeling?
Yeah.
Right? It's like, something. You ever got a random feeling? Like, you shouldn't have been, like, it's a random feeling about something. It's like, well, I know I didn't think about that, so where is this coming from?
Right.
And it's giving some clarity on something, right? The Lord told me, he said, you can trust your feelings now because ain't nothing else going in.
Right.
I'm trying to tell y'all something
now.
He said, you can trust your feelings because ain't nothing in there but me. Listen, We're not diving through these outside influences.
Yeah.
Right.
All these other things are trying to tell me what I am and who I am.
Yeah. Right.
No, when I there's you ready?
Yeah.
You gonna write this down. There's four places you should operate from, and I got four now, and I don't know what else God's gonna tell me. Okay, but I got four. I have four places that you should operate from. Four perspectives you should live your life from.
Yeah.
And neither one of them are good or bad.
Yeah.
Neither one of them are good and evil. I can show you something that you think good will be evil for somebody else.
Yeah.
I'll prove you one right now. And don't send nobody to come get me a B.I. Listen, I prove to you right now that you think being safe in America is a good thing, ain't it? And at the expense of somebody else getting busted up somewhere else.
Wow.
Good, bad, you don't want to change. Come on, amen. Don't get all, I don't want people to die. No, you're like a them or you. Good or bad, bro? Right. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? A baby before marriage. Good or bad? Y'all that got this the second one now, so y'all are like, well, you know, it's still a blessing from the Lord. No, I don't want to hear you. How they going to treat them in church? What you going to say? You going to say they made them a mistake. That was Jesus, though. Your Savior came here as used to call him when they weren't married, they called him a bastard child. We like to use them words bastard and illegitimate. All these different words that we just throw around like we know something.
Right.
Mary was a baby mama.
Yeah.
And she was a young one.
Uh-huh.
I found out the other day she was like 12.
Right.
They're gonna read Jewish custom. I don't know. Jewish custom. Jewish custom, go read it. Y'all go research. Go research Jewish custom. We over in America. Jewish custom, 12 to 14, woman get married. What? Somebody say, what? Say, what, Lord? 12 to 14. And the man get married from the time he 13, bar mitzvah, he a man. And he got to get it by 18. Can y'all understand the dynamics of that story now? Come on, do that story over now, the one that you like to read on Christmas. Let's do that, the nativity and the little pretty little thing out in the yard. Let's do that one over now. When you realize that The only way a girl was to be able to have a baby if she wasn't married is either she got raped or somebody in the family messed with her. So can you understand what's going on? Can you understand how many people had to believe that this child came from God when we've never seen this before? Somebody come up here today and tell y'all, I got pregnant, but I ain't had no man. Oh, security. Y'all, we're going to escort them out. We got hindsight.
Okay.
We read the Bible. We done read how the whole story played out. So now we like, that's so holy. No, listen to me. If they walk up in your building right now, you're going to do the same thing the people did. Talking about building on the rock. I'm building on sand, huh? Four perspectives. Thank you. Four perspectives. Y'all ready?
Yes.
There's life, love, truth, and grace. Say them back to me.
Life, love, truth, and grace.
Say them again.
Life, love, truth, and grace.
Say them one more time.
No,
no, no. If your perspective is not from one of them places, you're going to fall off somewhere. See, if you're just trying to judge things by good or bad, it's going to flip on you. Because just now we were talking about babies. Just now we were talking about the war. You know, I sit in the house the other day and the war commercial come on. Y'all know the war commercial come on and they play the little music and be like, yeah, you too, you can. And I'm like, but they shooting guns. And I'm thinking like on the other end of them guns, somebody getting killed. But I'm sitting in my nice little house looking at the commercial and just like I didn't start crying. I didn't feel any conviction. And I found out I was numb.
Right.
You too.
Yep.
Yeah. 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 I had to start checking myself. Like where am I living from? Where am I seeing things from? Why is it able, why can't I condemn somebody else for something they got going on when I got redeemed from that same thing? And I should know better, James. I should know better because ain't nobody sent me to hell. Well, some people probably tried to send you to hell. If they could have sent you, you know, thank God we ain't the judge. Because all of us will be down there holding hands. Kumbaya, my Lord. Come get us, Lord. Kumbaya. Why you let them be the judge?
Yeah. That's right.
And how many we would have sent? I know I'd have sent a few. I ain't gonna lie. Y'all ain't gonna keep it 100. All right, hit the button. Boom, you gone. Boom, you gone. Somebody would have zapped somebody in the traffic today. Oh, go ahead. Go to hell. Perspective. Everybody say perspective.
Perspective.
Come on, everybody say perspective.
Perspective.
Come on, say my viewpoint.
My viewpoint.
What viewpoint am I living from?
Yeah, that's good.
Looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith.
Uh-huh.
And it starts explaining what this joy that was set before us and despite the shame and endured the cross. He's trying to tell you what the perspective is. Mm-hmm. You think it's looking unto Jesus? No, looking unto to the perspective.
Yeah.
Looking unto the truth, that's you.
Yeah.
Jesus. The man Jesus of Nazareth came down to give you an example. The works that I do, so you do also. Greater works than these you do, because I'm out of here. In the beginning, God breathed in the man. He became a living soul. He said he became a living Jesus. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, this message ain't for everybody because some people are going to cuss me out. I don't care. I can take a couple cussings. It's the truth. So what perspective am I living from?
Yep.
Good master. He said, good master. He said, why you call me good? Ain't nothing good but God.
Yep.
God is a good God, ain't he?
Uh-huh.
The same one that cracked the ground open and swallowed up Achan and his whole family. Good or bad, you ain't gonna. See, we've been duped, man. Like we've been duped to think like we're not thinking on the ground and we ain't thinking higher. Set your affections on things that are above.
Yeah.
So now we got life, love, truth, and grace. All four of those have no opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, well, I've got an opposite. Death is not the opposite of life. Death is the opposite of existence on this plane we call Earth. Because life goes on. Whether you're living up there or not, it's going on. Y'all understand? A lie is not the opposite of the truth. It's the absence and a diversion. Just trying to get you to look somewhere else. Y'all get it? No opposite. It is. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I need y'all to be seeing it. Are y'all seeing it? If you seeing it, say yeah, please. If you ain't seeing it, please tell me those eyes to make you see it better. Are you seeing it? Grace has no opposite. It just is. So I should, because if I function in something that has an opposite, if my focus becomes something that has an opposite, it's like a seesaw can flip on me anytime. And in any given minute, I can lose my position. As soon as something jump off the other side, I can lose my position up here. If I bait sand, it's building your house on the sand. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? So now I can't live on my life, love, truth, and grace. And all these boxes need to be checked in my perspective. Man, we got some work to do.
Yeah,
hey, man, but we ain't scared to work, are we? But I got some. See, what I found out is this, and we've talked about this before. Today, I'm sitting in my seat at my house, and the Lord told me. He said, "Watch this. This country is not gonna change." This is what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not doing no State of the Union. Don't send no prophecy out for Montreal. I ain't none of that. I don't care about none of that. Okay, because we've had a bunch of them all of our Christian lives, and ain't nothing changed. He said, listen, the foundation you build on will determine your structure. This country was built on thievery, murder, and slavery. No, literally was built on the back of those things. And so that funk will reek up into everything that we try to accomplish.
Yeah.
This is what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
Until the foundation is changed,
That's right? That's right.
Until the foundation has changed and it's been a rebuilding.
Yeah.
Are y'all understanding what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
How do we rebuild? What's the rebuilding? The Bible says he who is in Christ is a new creature.
Yeah.
Old things, that old foundation, pass away. Hold all things, that same foundation made a new foundation.
Yeah.
Now we can't learn from those things and build from those things, and those things can't be to the point where it turns around and help us with the forgiveness. So much story, there's so much a place of forgiveness and love and grace in that story if we would only inject Christ.
Yeah.
It's an amazing story. Oh, y'all understanding what I'm saying? But it's got to be in Christ. Same thing with your foundation. There's some things about your foundation that's faulty and got you lopsided. And the power has been constricted because you put some things, some little gravel pieces on it, is in your foundation. You go back and think about your foundation with Jesus for a second. How long you just thought he was your savior and it had nothing to do with you? Think about it. Come on. How long you thought he was just your savior and you going to heaven, but it had nothing to do with your personality? We did it for a while.
Yeah.
And we were praying.
Yeah.
We were praying and casting, and we were trying to do whatever we can do. The foundation. Put your foundation in Christ now.
Uh-huh.
You see, we thought it was in there.
Right.
A young dude asked me, well, you know, when I got saved yesterday, and a young dude, one of my homeboys kind of grew up with me, a little younger than me, and I don't know if I ever had a conversation with him longer than 2 minutes, but we always called to dap up with her, bro. Good, everything good? Yeah, all right, I'm going to holler. And he sat around and waited for me a little bit yesterday, so I said, okay, Lord. But I'm not going to be like, hey, you need something from the Father? Nope, he stood next to me, I stood next to him. It was awkward for a second. You know, but we just stood there. Then he said, say it, bro. He said, if I got born again when I was little, right? I gotta do it again when I'm grown. He said, I gotta go up there again, because what if I don't remember? And I said, see, what people think is about that prayer. Right? They think it's just about that prayer. I know a bunch of people pray that prayer and ain't saved. Y'all too. It's the acknowledgement of Christ in you.
Yeah.
It's the acknowledgement of the Christ nature in you. And that Jesus is the Lord. He's the leader of the example of what we're supposed to be. Do y'all understand what's going on? And I gotta say this real quick. I'm riding, I'm gonna get back to my store, I'm riding, and I heard this, and I've never heard this before. You don't expect to hear this. You know, and y'all started rebuking the devil when I said what I'm about to say. I heard a voice say, and God's not gonna use y'all. You know, I get the in the name of Jesus, he gonna use me.
Right.
What do you mean all this work I've been trying to break down my foundation of my mind and do all that? You mean he not, no. He ain't using nobody else, he's gonna use them other people. Use them people that y'all thought wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
I know exactly what he was telling me. So I begin to change immediately. Because we're so busy trying to find out who good enough and who ain't good enough. Who worthy of change and who not worthy of change. Who's saying that, who not saying that. Then I start thinking about Saul and Paul. Then I start thinking about everybody in the Bible that Jesus, that God used. All of them was raggedy. Every single one of them. Abraham was lying, talking about Sarah wasn't his wife. His son did the same thing because they were scared. Jacob was a deceiver. Lied and stole the birthright. And then later on, God named him Israel. Even Jesus. He was spotless. Listen, Jesus came from the hood. He's from Nazareth. Listen, the way Jesus talked, imagine somebody getting up in church on Sunday and just cussing. That's how it felt for them. Because he was saying so many different things that didn't line up with their religion. He was talking truth because he had the truth and he was proving it. Right? But they was like, nah, he a blasphemer. He a wine bibber and a glutton. They say, John come neither eating nor drinking. You call him a crazy man. I came eating and drinking. You call me a wine bibber and a glut. Heretic. That's what they called him. Squeaky clean. I don't use y'all. Y'all know how to get nobody out of the dirt. You ain't never got no dirt on you. Let me read this. He said, so I got what he was saying. Get off your high horse. Stop saying who ain't going to use, I ain't going to use. I'm going to use who I want to use. You better make sure you're humbled in a position where I use you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop worrying about who you think good enough to be working and doing it and stop.
Yeah.
All this judgmentalness. And I understand judgment is not a bad thing, but what you where you judging from? You judging from life, love, grace, truth? It's not you, the devil. The truth ain't in you. I ain't got time to read this. They call him the devil, huh? I'm going to read this real fast, y'all. Starting at verse 33. Here's another parable. A certain household was planting a vineyard and hedged around about and digged the wine press in it and built the tower and let it come out to the husband and went far into the country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, his servants drew the husband and said, they might receive fruits of it. And the husband took his servants and beat one of them and killed another and stoned another. Killed them guys. Again, he sent another set of servants, more than the first. And they did in him likewise. Beat them, killed them, stoned them. The last that he sent in them was his son. Sound like a story, right? Saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husband saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore the vineyard cometh, who will he, what will he do unto the husbandman? They said to me, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard to the other husband, which shall render him the first fruit of the season. Jesus said to them, did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected. He's talking about the same stone that I'm going to build my church on. The stone that the builders rejected is the same to becoming the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and this is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you. Y'all see it? Should be, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but whosoever it shall fall on will grind him to powder. Let me say this and I'm gone. You know the parable about the talents? He dug a hole and hid it in there. Dug it in the dirt. What you made out of? You hid it. I was afraid, Master. I just want to live my life holy and don't ruffle no feathers. And I'm going to cast you out your stewardship. Because you didn't go and take what I gave you and put it to the usury. You're supposed to go into the markets. You're supposed to go outside elsewhere and use what I gave you to use. And if you don't use it, you're a wicked and slothful servant. Stop trying to, you're so worried about yourself. We're so worried about ourselves and trying to find out if we're going to be found good enough. You get a little dirt on your hands, pulling somebody out the mud, cool. If somebody drowned in the pool, what you going to do? Unless you can't swim. Well, that's another conversation. But if you stand on side, like, come on, get out. Get out. Come on, get out. Look at them. See, they shouldn't even been in that water. Oh, you jumping in. That's all I'm saying, man. That's all I'm saying. What you going to do? You going to run in the street and grab the child out the street? Are you going to tell them, move, move, move? No, you're going to save them. Will you risk it to save them?